Good morning, everyone. Let's turn to Judges chapter 9. It's quite a long passage, so we'll read this. Okay, Judges chapter 9. And Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal, went to Shechem to his mother's relatives and spoke to them and to the whole clan of the household of his mother's father, saying, "Speak now in the hearing of all the leaders of Shechem, which is better for you, that 70 men, all the sons of Jerubbaal, rule over you, or that one man rule over you. Also remember that I am your bone and your flesh." And his mother's relatives spoke all these words on his behalf in the hearing of all the leaders of Shechem. And they were inclined to follow Abimelech, for they said, "He is our relative." And they gave him 70 pieces of silver from the house of Baal-berith, with which Abimelech hired worthless and reckless fellows, and they followed him. Then he went to his father's house at Ophrah and killed his brothers, the sons of Jerubbaal, 70 men on one stone. But Jotham, the youngest son of Jerubbaal, was left, for he hid himself. All the men of Shechem and all of Beth Milo assembled together, and they went and made Abimelech king by the oak of the pillar which was in Shechem. Now, when they had told Jotham, he went and stood on top of Mount Gerizim and lifted his voice and called out. Thus he said to them, "Listen to me, O men of Shechem, that God may listen to you. Once the trees went forth to anoint a king over them, and they said to the olive tree, 'Reign over us.' But the olive tree said to them, 'Shall I leave my fatness with which God and men are honored and go to wave over the trees?' Then the tree said to the fig tree, 'You come reign over us.' But the fig tree said to them, 'Shall I leave my sweetness and my good fruit and go wave over the trees?' Then the tree said to the vine, 'You come reign over us.' But the vine said to them, 'Shall I leave my new wine, which cheers God and men, and go to wave over the trees?' Finally, all the trees said to the bramble, 'You come reign over us.' And the bramble said to the trees, 'If in truth you're anointing me as king over you, come and take refuge in my shade. But if not, may fire come out from the bramble and consume the cedars of Lebanon. Now, therefore, if you have dealt in truth and integrity in making Abimelech king, and you have dealt well with Jerubbaal and his house, and have dealt with him as he deserved, for my father fought for you and risked his life and delivered you from the hand of Midian. But you have risen against my father's house today and have killed his sons, 70 men, on one stone, and I have made Abimelech, the son of his maidservant, king over the men of Shechem, because he is your relative. If then you have dealt in truth and integrity with Jerubbaal and his house this day, rejoice in Abimelech, and let him also rejoice in you. But if not, let fire come out from Abimelech and consume the men of Shechem and Beth Milo, and let fire come out from the men of Shechem and from Beth Milo and consume Abimelech.' Then Jotham escaped and fled and went to Beer and remained there because of Abimelech, his brother. Now Abimelech ruled over Israel 3 years. Then God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem, and the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech, in order that the violence done to the 70 sons of Jerubbaal might come, and their blood might be laid on Abimelech, their brother, who killed them, and on the men of Shechem, who strengthened his hands to kill his brothers. And the men of Shechem set men in ambush against him on the tops of the mountains, and they robbed all who might pass by them along the road, and it was told to Abimelech. Now Gaal, the son of Ebed, came with his relatives and crossed over to Shechem, and the men of Shechem put their trust in him. And they went out into the field and gathered the grapes of their vineyards and trod them and held a festival. And they went into the house of their God and ate and drank and cursed Abimelech. Then Gaal, the son of Ebed, said, 'Who is Abimelech and who is Shechem that we should serve him? Is he not the son of Jerubbaal, and is Zebul not his lieutenant? Serve the men of Hamor, the son of the father of Shechem, but why should we serve him? Would therefore that this people were under my authority, then I would remove Abimelech.' And he said to Abimelech, 'Increase your army and come out.' And when Zebul, the ruler of the city, heard the words of Gaal, the son of Ebed, his anger burned. And he sent messengers to Abimelech deceitfully, saying, 'Behold, Gaal, the son of Ebed, and his relatives have come to Shechem, and behold, they are stirring up the city against you. Now therefore arise by night, you and the people who are with you, and lie in wait in the field. And it shall come about in the morning, as soon as the sun is up, that you shall rise early and rush upon the city. And behold, when he and the people are with you, come out against you, you shall do to them whatever you can.' So Abimelech and all the people who were with him arose by night and lay in wait against Shechem in four companies. Now Gaal, the son of Ebed, went out and stood in the entrance of the city gate, and Abimelech and the people who were with him arose from the ambush. And when Gaal saw the people, he said to Zebul, 'Look, people are coming down from the tops of the mountains. But Zebul said to him, you are seeing the shadow of the mountains as if they were men. And Gaal spoke again and said, behold, the people are coming down from the highest part of the land, and one company drives by the way of the diviner's oak. Then Zebul said, where is your boasting now, which you said, who is Abimelech, that we should serve him? Is this not the people whom you despise? Go out now and fight with them. So Gaal went out before the leaders of Shechem and fought with Abimelech. And Abimelech chased him, and he fled before him, and many fell wounded up to the entrance of the gate. Then Abimelech remained at Arumah, but Zebul drove out Gaal and his relatives so that they could not remain in Shechem. Now it came out the next day that the people went out to the field, and it was told to Abimelech. So he took his people and divided them into three companies and lay in wait in the field. And when he looked and saw the people coming out from the city, he arose against them and slew them. Then Abimelech and the company who were with him dashed forward and stood in the entrance of the city gate. And other two companies then dashed against all who were in the field and slew them. And Abimelech fought against the city all that day. And he captured the city and killed the people who were in it. Then he razed the city and sowed it with salt. When the leaders of this tower of Shechem heard it, they entered the inner chamber of the temple of El Berith. And it was told Abimelech that all the leaders of the tower of Shechem were gathered together. So Abimelech went up to Mount Zalmon, he and all the people who were with him. And Abimelech took an axe in his hand and cut down a branch from the trees and lifted it and laid it on his shoulder. Then he said to the people who were with him, what you have seen me do, hurry and do likewise. And all the people also cut down each one of his branch and followed Abimelech, put them in the inner chamber and set the inner chamber on fire over those inside, so that all the men of the tower of Shechem also died, about 1,000 men and women. Then Abimelech went to Thebez and he camped against Thebez and captured it. But there was a strong tower in the center of the city, and all the men and women with all the leaders of the city fled there and shut themselves in, and they went up on the roof of the tower. So Abimelech came to the tower and fought against it and approached the entrance of the tower to burn it with fire. But a certain woman threw an upper millstone on Abimelech's head, crushing his skull. Then he called quickly to the young man, his armor-bearer, and said to him, draw your sword and kill me, lest it be said of me, a woman slew him. So the young man pierced him through, and he died. And when the men of Israel saw that Abimelech was dead, each departed to his home. Thus God repaid the wickedness of Abimelech, which he had done to his father in killing his 70 brothers. Also, God returned all the wickedness of the men of Shechem on their heads, and the curse of Jotham, the son of Jerubbaal, came upon them. Amen. Okay. Now, remember, let's go back to chapter 8, verse 23. Remember Gideon, and he makes this really incredible faith statement. They said... remember the people said, Gideon, you rule over us, and your people rule over us, or your sons rule over. And this is what he says in verse 23. Gideon said to them, I will not rule over you, nor shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. So this was the heart. And remember, Gideon is Jerubbaal. That's his non-Jewish name. So we see this thing happening, and then there's peace for 40 years in Israel because of Gideon. Then we're introduced to one of Gideon's sons. And this is a cautionary tale about the dangers of polygamy. Okay, so this is Abimelech. Abimelech is not one of the true sons of Gideon. He is, if you read Jotham's account, he is actually the concubine's son. So he's one, you know, Gideon, many, many wives is one of them. So now there's 70 brothers that are there. History tells us that the other 70 brothers, they actually had no desire to rule over Israel. None of them at all. And so they're actually... What Abimelech is laying out is actually an empty threat. So he comes to the people of Shechem, and this would be the one that was most favorable to him. He is from this group of people. And he says to them, hey, would you rather have 70 rulers or one ruler? Again, this is an empty threat because the other 70 didn't want to rule. They followed after their father. And he said that I'm not going to rule over you, and my sons will not rule over you. And they were, in essence, obedient sons. Now, let's go back to the series we worked on last year. Now we have an orphan. We have a son who's not a son, who's an orphan. And he wants to usurp power, and so he uses faulty reasoning and faulty logic. And you have to understand that this is usually one of the ways or one of the reasons where the enemy starts and gets a foothold, and people start thinking very unresponsibly. They start thinking, honestly, quite ridiculously sometimes. And so he says to them, and the people there said, yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Better to have one than 70. Again, there was no threat of 70. The other 70 had no desire to rule. And one, and then at the end of it, they also said, oh, well, he's our relative, so we should listen to him. You know, how can I say this in a nice way? Brothers and sisters, right? Just because someone is your family, and we tend to do this a lot, there sometimes become a blindness in us. And even though the men of Shechem, they probably looked at this and said, well, that's not really what our fathers told us, you know, particularly Gideon, about this whole thing. And then, you know, it becomes very unreasonable what's laid out, but the blindness of, well, he's family. You know, he is one of our relatives, so okay, let's do this thing. And so that's what happens. Now, each of them gives him some silver. So now he's got 70 pieces of silver with him that he uses to basically buy mercenaries. And I like my translation. It says, hired worthless, this is verse 4, worthless and reckless fellows, and they followed him. The connotation was these men were bloodthirsty. They not necessarily for blood, but they were, I would say, better power thirsty. And there was some benefit that they could have becoming a ruling class. And so so Abimelech hired these men who were horrible men and wanted to rule in this way. It's amazing how evil personified, how the kind of company that it brings to them. I'll continue on. It's a long chapter. And so they get to the place, and then the next thing you know, Abimelech, I mean, evil in his heart, he goes and he kills the 70 brothers of his. I mean, his own family. This is really one of the first instances in the Old Testament of this kind of despicable behavior. Now, unfortunately, when we get to the Kings and Chronicles, this is going to happen frequently. One king is going to want power, and he basically destroys all the kings. Well, I should say, in verse 6, it says, and all the men of Shechem and all at Beth Milo assembled together, and they made Abimelech king by the oak of the pillar, which is in Shechem. That word there in verse 7, also dealing with verse 22, it says, now Abimelech ruled over Israel 3 years. The connotation in Hebrew that it was usurped authority. He was never the true king. He was never the true ruler. In fact, there was no ruler. Only God was supposed to be the ruler, according to Gideon's words and the words of covenant. And there was no king, but God was their king. And so so everything that he had done, he usurped authority. So it wasn't real. It wasn't genuine. But Jotham escapes. And then when he hears that the guy that killed his family becomes the king. They set him up as king. He goes to Mount Gerizim, and you would recognize Mount Gerizim. This is Moses would go up into this hill as well. And Gerizim has it's overlooking the valley, and it's close to the city. So if you stood on that hill, not only could you speak to a large crowd, but your voice would be heard in the city as well. So he gets to the top place, and this is one of the first instances in the Bible of the use of a parable. And this became a very common, and a lot of times people use parables. Now, Jesus used parables in amazing ways, but in the Old Testament, parables were used to bring an injunction against somebody, but in a way that is a little more sly or subversive. In other words, Jotham couldn't say, he could have said, Abimelech is evil. This is messed up, man. But he doesn't do that. He does it in a parable. And he uses, and imagine him, he's looking out over all the foliage of the forest that's before him. And just like, you know, Jesus in his parables, if you start reading, Jesus, I don't believe that he woke up in the morning and he prepared a sermon for the day. He's not like us, okay? I think when Jesus, when he walked around and he looked and he saw a fig and then he shared a parable. He walked around and he saw two women and he laid a parable. And so so Jesus was basically flowing, right? He was flowing with the Holy Spirit. So he didn't prepare a sermon, you know, in his quiet time. He just got filled with the Holy Spirit, and as he walked through the day, just stuff just came out of him in that regard. I think Jotham is doing the same thing. He gets up and he sees all these trees, and in the Israelite mindset, these different kinds of trees would be indicative of different factions, you know, and whatnot. And so and each of these trees actually have a specific order. So you'll read, and actually it talks about it here, they call it the Cedars of Lebanon. You hear that phrase many, many times, especially through the Song of Solomon and whatnot, and the Cedars of Lebanon had the top place. And so this would be like the top tribe and whatnot. And so he uses this parable, and he says, let's take it from the beginning. Once the trees, verse 8, went forth to anoint a king over them and said to the olive tree, "Reign over us." And the olive tree basically says, "Oh, I'm too blessed. You know, why should I waste my time ruling over you?" And then went down to the fig tree, and then it went down to the vine, and then it finished at the bramble. Bramble is like tumbleweed, okay? And then after all this, you know, "No, I'm too blessed. You know, I got other things to do." And then the tree said, "Oh, bramble, why don't you reign over us?" And what Jotham is trying to say, you allowed a worthless person to rule over you in this regard. And as a result, there's going to be a reckoning that takes place. And it's interesting, the word that he says, "May fire come out from the bramble and consume the cedars of Lebanon, consume you worthless people, or you who think that you are something." And so... so he shares this parable. Now he goes into more in-depth about what they've done. You know, "My father served you. My father freed you from the Midianites. And this is how you repay him. This is how you repay the house of Zerubbabel. And there's judgment that's going to come." So here we get to the next scene. So Abimelech, now he rules over Israel for 3 years. And then look what happens. Then God sends a judgment upon the house of Abimelech and the house of Shechem. And he does it by sending an evil spirit. Now the evil spirit comes in, and what is the characteristic of this spirit? Jealousy, misunderstanding, ill-conceived judgments take place. Now, I mean, this is very interesting in how this works in people's lives. This is nothing short of the judgment of God, brothers and sisters. I've been in situations where you know, been confronted with people and whatnot, and it's tied into these judgments, right? Jealousy, inconclusive conclusions. In other words, perspectives on matters that took place, but that is ill-conceived. I mean, it comes more out of brokenness than out of actual truth. And you see that, man, it's a judgment or an evil spirit that comes upon to bring all kinds of turmoil in a certain situation. And in this case, this is judgment for what was in their heart and what they had done. So he sends this, and all kinds of chaos begins to happen. And now the men of Shechem, the very ones that supported Abimelech, now turn against him. And so much so that, one of the houses rises up, and, another group of brothers are robbing people on the road and causing all kinds of calamity, you know, to the name of Abimelech. And so they basically get there and they fight. Abimelech wins the fight. Then they get to so they hold themselves up in a tower. And what does he do? Remember, let the fires of the bramble come. And what does he do? He cuts down a tree. He goes and he basically burns. I mean, can you imagine how horrific that is? He burned leaders, women, and children in a tower. I mean, a despicable thing. Then he goes to the next city to raise it, another city that rises up against Abimelech. And now this time, Abimelech is there, and he fights against it. It's you know, when I think of this scene, I think of, like, have you ever seen Lord of the Rings? You know, or probably not the second one, the Twin Towers. You know how the orcs come and they finally get to the tower and they break in, you know, all that fight. So they're basically, he's basically won the fight. So it's over. So now he's going to go get trees to do the same thing to these men and put, you know, the wood inside and burn it up. And then just by happenstance, some lady ends up taking, and it's the upper millstone. So it's a small thing. And she throws it from the tower and just happens to hit the dude smack on his head, crushing his skull. So he's incapacitated, and then he tells his arm bearer, please kill me. Ladies, don't read too much into this, okay? But in this culture, right, remember we're doing good exegesis right now. In this culture, don't read too much into today, but in this culture, a warrior, a soldier dying by the hands of a woman was considered a curse. Okay? Now, we do our hermeneutic. That's not what it means today in that way. So you need to understand, okay? Are we safe there? And so back then, it was this. So he asked him to kill him. And so in essence, he dies in shame. And he dies in great dishonor, even though, you know, he officially died with the armor bearer. Obviously, the story tells us it was some random woman that threw a stone and happened to smack the dude on his head. And that's how he basically dies in that place. And he's brought down into shame. And that's basically what happens when people rise up against God, when people begin to take and usurp authority in that way. In spiritual warfare terms, we can call that like operating in a Jezebel spirit, you know, and so on and so forth. You know, when that happens, it creates, or I should say, vengeance is mine, declares the Lord. And eventually it leads into a justified ending in many ways. And it says all of Jotham's, God, verse 57, God also God returned all the wickedness of the men of Shechem on their heads, and the curse of Jotham, the son of Zerubbabel, came upon them. And that's basically what happens. And this is, I mean, it's kind of a really sad chapter. It's actually, to be honest, it's quite depressing. But people raise up themselves above the Lord and above the people, and God's not going to sit idly by to watch this happen. So let's close our eyes. There's a lot of different takeaways that we can take from this passage. But let's focus on one aspect here, and one that we can check ourselves in. If we're honest with ourselves and honest before the Lord, think about some conflicts that you may be having right now. Is there any space in our heart? Is there any jealousy? Are there any judgments that we've made? Is there any strife? Or ungodly perspective that we've allowed to creep in to our minds? Or it could just be our stubbornness and our pride. When we don't allow any space in our mind, in other words, we feel like we're so right, and we don't allow any space for Holy Spirit to interject, we are in big trouble. No one is infallible. And so let's ask the Holy Spirit to search our hearts this morning. Is there jealousy in my heart? Am I making judgments on matters or people that are maybe unfounded? Am I making judgments out of my hurt and out of my brokenness instead of truth? And let the Holy Spirit speak to us and minister to us. Let's pray this morning. Let's ask God to lead us, and let's pray that the Lord would help us and make sure that our hearts are pure before Him, that that we're not making improper judgments or allowing jealousy to creep into our hearts. And it's evil. Says God sent an evil spirit, and its purpose is to bring division. And in, be it your family or your work or your church, right, it's meant to bring down the house. And so let's cover ourselves. Let's pray. Let's pray for our community. Let's ask God to release His healing word over our friends that are battling cancer and going through therapies. Let's ask for God's touch upon their lives. Let's pray for our community that are battling illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. And let's pray for physical and especially spiritual healing. Let's lift up our community that's battling non-cancer related illnesses. Let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for God's provision and open doors. Let's go to our mission focus, and let's pray for Cambodia. Let's lift up Grace, our missionary there, and lift up the ministry at Bloom. They're planning a trip this summer, and so let's pray for that trip as well. Let's ask the Lord to continue to be with her, and I know that she's traveling quite a bit now as part of Bloom, and so ask for just protection as she travels. Let's also pray for Japan. Pray for Pastor Sophia. I know that she's not necessarily struggling, but she's having a little difficult time with her Japanese. I think going from the first year to second year was quite a difficult transition. And so just really pray that that her brain would be working well and her mind would grasp all the Japanese that she needs to learn. She's also in a new church, and so taking on new ministries. Let's pray for just anointing as she ministers. And she actually got permission from a mission agency that we can have some people visit. And so we're planning to do that at the end of this year. And so pray for all those plans to come through as well. But also, you know, not only pray for our friends, but let's pray for the countries too. Let's lift up Japan and Cambodia to the Lord. Let's pray for our prayer and healing ministries. And let's lift up the intercessory prayer, the well, Cascade. Pray for His anointing and pray for the Lord's protection over each of our ministers, our volunteers. Let's ask God to just come against some warfare that they may be experiencing. Let's just ask for His blessing. Let's cover our education ministries. So let's pray over Noah's Ark and the SP Youth and SPU. Pray for anointing and particularly young people really encountering the Lord. This week, Pastor Mary and Eling are actually in LA. They're attending a children's conference, quite a good children's conference. And so let's cover them as well. Pray that they will learn and grow and really be stretched and bring back all what they learned and what they experienced back to the ministry here. And so let's lift up our young people. Let's pray for our Thursday outreaches. Pray for SP Lights tonight and the homeless outreach. Pray for Holy Spirit's covering. Pray for God's hand to be upon our leaders and our volunteers that go out. Pray for protection. Pray for conversations to happen naturally and that people would be led into a closer relationship with Jesus. Let's lift up. Thank you. And so let's pray for House Church tonight. Let's pray for Robin Hood, Elements, Happy Valley, and Olympic. And let's pray for Holy Spirit's leading. Pray for the leaders and the hosts that they would lead their house churches with love and with anointing. Let's pray that tonight, especially as they draw closer to God's Word, that there'll be a real conviction in our hearts to really become better students of His Word. Let's pray tonight. Lord, we thank you today. Thank you for this time of prayer that we can come together corporately. Lord, we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would continue to lead us and guide us and open up your scriptures to us, God. And we thank you for the word today in Judges, Lord. We're reminded, God, that when we go out, Lord, and do what we think is best, God, which runs contrary to your will, just like Abimelech, God, we run into a lot of issues, a lot of problems, God. And so I pray that you'd help us, Lord, and help us to be subservient to you and to your commandments, that we follow you, God. Lord, you don't follow us. And so help us and lead us, God, today. Lord, we love you, Lord. Lord, use us to bring your son Jesus all the glory that he deserves through all of our words, our actions, our thoughts, Lord. We thank you. We love you today, God. In Jesus' name, all God, and we pray, amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you tomorrow.